The reading this morning is from Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20, and it really speaks about the equipment that the Lord has given us in order to stand against our enemy. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words will be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. And this is the word of the Lord.
Chris is now going to give us a talk on the armor of God. So let's just pray for him, shall we, before he starts. Lord, thank you so much for this important teaching from Paul about the armor of God. Pray that you'll be with Chris through your Holy Spirit as he teaches us, and help us to listen attentively and apply the most important points to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do we have sound? Hey, look at that. Technology is working for us. Good morning. It's wonderful to be here with you all this morning. We're just going to work our way through this reading. But first, I remember this as clear as anything. I was sitting in my car outside our house in Suffolk, on my own in there, and I was praying. I was quite frustrated with God at the time. There was a bunch of stuff happening in life that I'd been praying for ages, that it would go away. Someone I'd love God to have healed, and a couple of other bits happening there. And I remember in my frustration saying to God, why do I have to pray every day for this? Can't I just pray once and like you'll just sort it? Like just let's just make it one really big prayer and then maybe that will be good for the next 12 months maybe. And clear as anything, in this conversation with God, he said, look, if you were fighting a battle, like a war, would you get up one morning and just go, you know what, I just can't be bothered to fight today. I'm just going to leave it to someone else. Just going to stay here. And I was like, yeah, okay, God, kind of I know. But I was like, but I don't know what to pray, God. I know like I need to pray every day, and I really want you to do this. Would you come and heal this person and this situation? But I'm out of words. And he said, yeah, but I've put people around you, Chris. You're in part of a community. There's others who will pray. And there was the other bit of the picture. Yes, we do need to pray every day. And sometimes it can feel like we've prayed forever. For years and years and years. And sometimes we do get to those moments where you think, I just don't have the words, God. And silence is okay. God doesn't mind our silence. And being part of a community is wonderful because we can reach out to others and say, you know what, would you pray with me for this? I share that because as we get into looking at the armor of God, we start thinking about what it is to wait in the presence of God. And waiting sometimes, we think it's like this, I don't know about you, but I get frustrated when I've waited like a day, or maybe 2 days. I'm impatient. My new wine journey, we recently back from New Wine, and you've maybe seen the video on Facebook that Mark put together. And my journey through New Wine always seems to be the same. I get to like the end of day two, and we've had these great big worship things, and it's been amazing to worship with people. And like, God, but everyone seems to be experiencing you, and where are you? I'm like, it's only been 2 days, you know, rest, Chris, it's okay. But I'm getting a little impatient. And then God shows up. Of course, he was always there. He's just trying to teach me something about my impatience. So sometimes this whole idea of waiting, we can kind of compress it and think, well, when I've been waiting 2 days, then that's a long time. But what when it's years and years and years? Anyone here been praying for someone or some situation for years? I know I have. Anyone else? Just have a look around. Keep your hands up if you're happy to. Just have a look around. You're not alone. You're not alone. And so that's what we will look at today. Now, why does Paul use this metaphor of battle and armor? Things that take us into the idea of war. Why does he do that? And for me, I think it's because we are dealing with things here that are unseen. Can't see them, we can't smell them, can't hear them, can't taste them, can't touch them. And so Paul has to help us see the unseen. And so he wraps all of that in this metaphor to say, here's something you know. Now maybe they would have known the idea of battle and war much more than we do, but actually I don't think that's true. We have wars going on in our world that no doubt many of us have prayed that God would bring peace. And we've read stories in the paper about people going through great struggle and hardship and loss and grief. So war is actually a very relevant metaphor for us to start thinking about the armor of God. And spiritual battle. And of course, this thing that Paul is trying to get us to get our heads round is that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. So immediately we're like, well, what are those, Paul? What are you on about? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Okay, Paul, what are you saying? It's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Wow. I wonder what people thought when they heard Paul say that. Hold on a minute, Paul. What on earth are you on about? All through this book, you've been talking about the heavenly realms. What do you mean? Now, of course, reading elsewhere in Scripture, we see that there is a whole lot that we don't see. We read about angels and about demons and about spiritual realms that are beyond our perception. And Paul is trying to say to us here, there is a whole lot more going on that influences what happens here in the kingdom that you live in. And so because of all that, because there is this battle going on, you need to clothe yourself correctly. He talks about when the day of evil comes. Not if it comes, but when it comes. He's pretty certain we're going to face in our life, in our earthly life, evil. And no doubt many of us have seen situations, either not in immediately in our lives, in the lives of others or other nations or other places, or maybe in our own lives, where we've just come up against things and think, this just does not seem good or grace-filled or loving. So what of this armor then? We've got the idea that there's a spiritual battle going on, that we will face evil, that that is a war that is as real as wars that we see on earth. What of the armor? What have we got? We've got the belt of truth. We've got the breastplate of righteousness. We've got our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We've got the shield of faith. We've got the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Now you can look at all those items, and all bar one in the normal context of armor would be defensive, and only one is an offensive weapon. The sword, of course. But here's where Paul, I think, is just encouraging us to dig deep. Because you start looking at this and think, okay, well, let's take it. The sword, the word of God, is the one that we will wield. Everything else, defensive. But you think, hold on a minute, no, the word of God, that is truth. So the weapon that is wielded to make ground is actually a declaration of truth. So our holding on to truth, which we've put round us like a belt, it's firm, it's fixed, it's the thing that is holding us together, is the very thing that we hold up to advance. Think a little deeper. It's one thing to come to know God, know his presence. But if we keep that to ourselves, God's kingdom is established only in our life. Nowhere else. If I get to know Jesus and I were to tell no one else about it, then God's kingdom is not expanding through my actions. The same with all of us. But the very fact that there are, however many there are of us in this room at this moment, means God's kingdom has expanded. And of course, we're only a fraction of the number of Christians that there are in this city, let alone this nation and the world in which we live. So the idea of our feet being fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace makes the feet actually one of those bits of armor that is all about advancing. We hold the sword, truth around our waist, and we take the gospel and we say, look, I need to tell you about who God is, what Jesus has done for me, because I want you to know. I want you to know that when the day of evil comes, you too can stand firm. Here's how you're not going to be overwhelmed. And you see people, you must meet people in society who don't know Jesus, and they're just sometimes carrying such shame or such anxiety or such a weight of the world. And you think, oh, if you could meet Jesus, you'd find someone who would just lift that weight off your shoulders. In whose power, in the power of his Spirit, you would be able to stand. And so we become a people who stand, but we stand by holding on to truth in a world that is adrift from truth and sharing what we know of Jesus. Now note the connection there. We share what we know of Jesus. Who's Jesus? First few verses of John. The Word. The Word was with God. The Word was there in the beginning. All things created through the Word. You see all of these connections. So what Paul is doing in the midst of this metaphor of armor is he's weaving together this picture of saying central to all of this is Jesus. It all revolves around who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. We hold that as truth. We hold it up as the word of God. We declare it. And we're given these other things. We're given the shield of faith. You know, we never let off the hook from faith. You can read and research and go as deep as you like into God's word. You won't get to a point where you get to scientifically, you know, empirically provable by today's standards proofs. You have to have an encounter with the Spirit and believe by faith. Now, yes, totally. Archaeology helps us. We get all these clues, but you're left with these clues that which you start to build a picture up, and then you go, ah, you encounter the living God. Not by reason and intellect and saying, oh, I can piece it all together, because that puts us above God. By faith, you say, oh, I've had all these clues that I'm seeing. Yeah, you're the living God. That's the shield of faith. We're going to stop in a moment. The helmet of salvation. I love this. We're saved, we know that, by God's grace, through faith, not by our own efforts. God gives us that as the helmet. It's protecting the most precious bit of our body, and we can say the heart, but if an arrow in a war context were to go through your head, that's, you're done. Gone. God's there saying salvation is going to be the thing that you're clothed with. Salvation is what's seen. What do people, when you come and meet someone, you look at their face. You look at their head. And there you are. Salvation is going to be clothed. We're going to be seen as people who are clothed by Jesus. It's going to be seen in our expressions, on our faces. It's a beautiful thing. Let's wrap up. I've got all this armor, Jesus at the center. I love that Francesca took us into this with our prayers. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. You know, when the disciples were with Jesus, they could talk to him. It all made sense. When they were with him, when they weren't with him, they couldn't talk to him because he wasn't next to them. And Jesus says to them, I'm going. I'm going to send you my Spirit. And that's going to be a greater reality because you'll be able to talk to the Spirit any time of every day. And that's our reality. And so when he says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, it is an invitation to all of us to be the people, the unique individuals he's made us with our unique relationship, each with the Holy Spirit, sharing with God the unique things that he is placing on our hearts. And I'm going to finish with this. If you remember where we started, waiting for God, coming to the end of our own words, being part of a community, knowing that others around us are part of that prayer, we don't do any of this alone. There might be moments when you're alone, just you and God. But actually, we don't do any of it alone. We are together the church. Now, we're one small part of the global church of some 2.5 billion people. But together, this community, here we're sitting around tables. We will do this. Yeah, let's do this and finish. Lots of us put our hands up with the things that we've been praying for years, maybe. H- would you like someone to pray with you? Just sit down. Don't need to say any words. Just to be there. Be present. And pray. Anyone? I know I would. There's a whole bunch of us. Lift your hands up high if you'd like that. So if you're happy to. I know it's a brave thing to do. If you're willing to pray, and don't need to use loads of words, just go and sit with that with someone. Look around, see who's got their hands up. If you're happy to keep your hands up high, anyone who's willing to pray, go find someone with their hand up. Sit with them. And I just advise, as we go into our next hymn, sing the words of this hymn, just stand with that person and pray for them. God can hear what you're saying. So anyone who's got their hand up, who's not got someone, just praying for them. Let's all reach towards. I know you had your hand up. I'll come and pray with you. I'm going to pray briefly now, and then we're going to sing a hymn, and we will pray for each other. Father God, I thank you for this picture that you've given us in your word. We recognize that there is so much more going on than we are aware of. We thank you that you are sovereign, that you know it all. You know us intimately. I pray for each of us that you would give us your encouragement to stand in your spirit, to know that you are with us. You hear our prayer. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Got some prayer going. I'm going to introduce our next hymn. We're going to keep praying as we sing this hymn. We'll come and stand alongside anyone else who needs prayer. So let's sing, "Guide Me, O Great Redeemer." Let's stand to sing. Keep praying if you're praying. And that's the heart of our prayer, isn't it? That we pray to God, "Would you guide me through this situation, God? Guide me in how to pray for this person or this situation, because you are the great Redeemer."